Hey guys, did you know that Skybook is giving away five $200 free play prizes? Sign up with skybook.ag, deposit $200 or more before February 3rd, and make sure to mention promo code DFS1000 for a chance to win one of these awesome prizes. Winners will be announced right here on February 8th. Skybook is the home of the free half point. Take advantage and move the lines half a point in your favor. If you like to bet on sports, that is a huge deal. Call 1-888-759-2665 and claim promo code DFS1000 for your chance to win one of those prizes and get in on a pretty awesome sports book. Again, skybook.ag, promo code DFS1000.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS Pro.
Vegas Lines, Daily Fantasy Football Breakdowns podcast, brought to you by DFSArmy.com. This is the championship round edition of the podcast, but before I get into the games and just what an incredible season it's been and what a great ride it's been with every one of you, and I appreciate you all, I want to talk about DFSArmy.com and what we do during the offseason. Things don't stop after the NFL season for us. We've got NBA going strong right now. And personally, I love NBA for daily fantasy sports purposes. And if you're in the DFS Army, you know, you'll see me in the channels just like any other member asking the pros, you know, taking their advice and using our domination station optimizer to make lineups. Been crushing lately, just doing very simple. I don't put a whole lot of work into it. It's totally different for me from weekly sports like NFL, so I love that. I also like to get into MMA, NASCAR, and golf in the offseason. I like once-a-week sports where I can put a little bit extra time to research, much like football. During the football season, I don't play virtually anything else for the reason of just how all-encompassing it is to play daily fantasy football. And quite honestly, if you're listening to this and you don't understand that or it doesn't make sense to you, you're probably not winning. Because success in daily fantasy football requires a ton of work, much more so than I would say in some of these other sports. My personal favorite offseason sport is MMA, for fantasy MMA, which not a lot of people, not everybody even knows exists. I love it. I love watching the fights. I like watching them with a rooting interest, and I love watching tape and breaking down the fights, and especially trying to find an edge through superior tape study. So that's a little bit of what I'll be doing in the offseason. But in the meantime, I appreciate the ride. Everybody's been listening, all the DFS Army members that have been with me throughout this podcast all season long, and the multiple VIP-only podcasts I do over the course of each NFL week, breaking down first the overview of all of the games with this Vegas Lines Breakdown podcast, and then, of course, my Players Club and Wolfpack podcast, where we bring on the Wolfpack, where we bring on some of our DFS Army pros, and we break down the games and what their picks are and their kind of point of view. And I love to hear other people's opinions. And then, of course, the Players Club, which comes out usually night before the games or 2 days before the games, where I've already started really making a lot of lineups, and I've got my, or at least hopefully, as close to a solid approach for the slate pretty much down pat. So let's take a look at the championship round. We've got two incredible games. This is an awesome, awesome week. And I love this week of football because you have all really, really great teams. I mean, the four best in the league have made it to the finals. We've got the Saints at home taking on the Rams. Saints favored by 3.5 at home. Super close. 57-point total. That's massive. We've got the Chiefs at home taking on the Eagles, 55-point total, massive, 3-point spread in favor of the Chiefs. So Vegas is predicting a couple of close games here, high-scoring, close games. We know it's going to be cold in Kansas City, so what? I'm paying no mind to that whatsoever. A, Tom Brady is very comfortable playing in the cold, and Kansas City is a cold place. Mahomes is an unstoppable force. I really don't put much change in my approach to games based on it's really cold. Now, there are some statistics that say that, you know, running backs do a little bit better in very cold weather, and I don't know why that would be. I don't really see anything about a cold weather game that scares me, that makes me want to not use the players from it. Now, that said, the climate control environment of the Saints really is more conducive to sort of, you know, high scoring games, you would imagine. And, you know, it's perfect climate. So, you know, there's no cold hands. There's no slippery football. So, you know, it's as good as anything Saints game. But both of these games are great spots. So what I'm going to try to do is go a little bit deeper in depth. You can't just look at, we can look at the overall defenses here, what they've done all season. That's fine. We're going to do that. But realistically, this is the championship, and teams are going to put their best foot forward. I want to just point out some of the numbers. And when we're looking at New England versus the Chiefs have been one of the worst teams defensively all season, but it's important to note that they've been much better at home than on the road. Like, the splits are so significant that it's almost difficult to use the stats, the season stats, to really kind of prove any sort of a point. They've been 7 or 8 points better defensively in terms of scoring, opposing scoring allowed in home games than they have been in away games. And that's quite a big deal. So they play a little bit better at home. That said, the Chiefs are ranked 28th overall against the quarterback position, giving up 22.5 points per game. That's really bad. By comparison, the Patriots have been a little bit better. They're ranked 19th overall, giving 19.5 points per game. Again, throw that out the window. Pat Mahomes is your top play on this slate. He's always going to be, because the type of offense they play, the way he throws deep, the accuracy, Tyreek Hill, all of that stuff is really impossible, or no team has figured out a way to really, truly defend it. The only thing that we've seen in recent weeks, like, for example, last week when Mahomes didn't put up a massive number, a lot of that was because he didn't need to. They just started to lean on the run as they were controlling that game. Now, very interesting about this Chiefs-Patriots game is this one played itself out earlier in the season in New England. So this isn't the first time these two teams have met. In the first game, Mahomes went bananas. 31.98 DraftKings points in that one, as they lost to the Patriots 40 to 43. Now, it's important to note that in that particular game, Travis Kelce was held in check. Only, I believe it was, 5 receptions, 9 targets, 11 fantasy points. So he didn't do much. Instead, it was a Rieke Evans game. Rieke wound up putting up 40-plus points. 12 targets, 7 receptions. And this is the MO of this Chiefs offense. When they need to score fast, when they're down, they throw bombs to Tyreek. That's just what they do. So the higher scoring of a game it is, and I know this seems obvious, but it just is what it is. The higher scoring of a game it is, but more so, the more pressure an opposing offense is putting on them, the more you would expect Tyreek Hill to do. Because it's very easy for the Chiefs, when they get a lead, to just sit back and lean on the running game or do something else. They're up big, just like they did last week when Damian Williams went crazy. Now, New England doesn't present an easy matchup for opposing wide receivers. In general, they have excellent cornerback play. Stephon Gilmore, Devin McCourty, both very, very good players. So New England has excellent cornerback play. But you'd expect one of them to be on the outside, maybe on Sammy Watkins, and one of them maybe a McCourty to see Hill a lot. They move Hill around so much, and he already burned this team. I don't think he's a coverable player. I really don't. I haven't seen where a team has been able to shut down Tyreek Hill. They move him around so much. He's out of the backfield. He's taking swing passes, and then they're throwing bombs to him. He's all over the place. He's running it on occasion. So I don't really see that happening. So gotta like Tyreek Hill here. I still like Kelce, even though he didn't have a massive game. Let's look at the numbers real quick. New England has been just aight against tight ends this season. Coming in ranked 17th overall, right in the middle of the league. Giving up 4.5 receptions per game to the position, 10.3 DraftKings points. So, you know, middle of the league, just aight, as they say. Just aight. Now, it's interesting when you check the quarterback and tight end statistics. When you look at the wide receiver statistics in terms of the New England defense, they've been pretty good. Again, they have elite cornerbacks. So they're 12th overall, giving up only 36.2 points per game to opposing wide receivers. And that includes the 40-point Tyreek Hill game. So in general, they're generally not a team you want to attack via outside wide receivers or even necessarily via the tight end position. Actually, running back and throwing to the running back has been a great way to attack this Patriots team. A Patriots team that hasn't given up a ton of points all season. And again, some of these numbers are deceiving because of the level of competition they face. But yeah, if you look at the running back position, 24 points per game, 13th overall. In essence, statistically, this Patriots defense shows really well. Now this is messed up, but let's throw all of that out the window. Why? Because they're on the road, it's a harsh environment, and you're not going to really dominate the Chiefs at home with your defense unless you're the Ravens or the Bears or some defense of that level. Not a middling New England defense that's 13th, 17th, 19th. Those are numbers we would expect from any playoff team. So with the Patriots, how are they going to attack? Well, let's start with the Chiefs. How are they going to attack the Patriots? They're going to attack them exactly how they attack every other team. It's going to be Tyreek Hill. It's going to be Travis Kelce. It's going to be Damian Williams at the running back position. That's your three-pronged attack. Now, one of the beautiful things about Damian Williams is, if you'll note, last week, even in the blowout, obviously it very much favored Williams. But what I want to see is, A, who else got carries? And not a whole lot of people did. Spencer Ware, maybe a couple of touches. But more importantly, Damian Williams, not just 25 rushing attempts, he got 6 targets in the passing game. 6 targets. That's perfection. 25 carries, 6 targets, 31. That's Todd Gurley vintage usage. That's Zeke Elliott level usage. Now, Williams is not the most expensive running back on the slate by any stretch of the imagination. So he's going to be a core play this week. He's right there, actually, at almost the same price as Kamara, which is crazy on DraftKings, but we'll talk about the pricing algorithms at the end of this because there is a massive, massive discrepancy in the salaries on DraftKings and FanDuel this week, and I'm going to explain how it's different, why it's different, and what's cool about it. But we'll wait till we get through the breakdowns to talk about that. All right, so it's very simple. We want the Chiefs to play their core players. Sammy Watkins, don't forget about him. Now, he's not going to have a great matchup. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be a little tricky. Now, he might end up... See, I don't like to worry too much about matchup. You never know. Like, is Gilmore going to be on Watkins? Or are they going to put him on Hill? Are they going to put McCourty on Travis Kelce? It's hard to know. So for that reason, we want a piece of this high-scoring offense regardless of where we can get it. Sammy Watkins is super cheap. You borderline need to play him on FanDuel. On DraftKings, there are a few cheap options that I'll mention. We probably only need one, maybe two of them. But Sammy Watkins is definitely a premier option. 8 targets, 6 receptions. And the Patriots are quite known for trying to take out the top weapons for their opposition. And that's either going to be Reek or maybe Kelce. I'm assuming they're going to try to take out Kelce, because they did last time they played and they won that game. But they could switch it up. I'm going to have Kelce exposure just because there's no one else at tight end. Or there aren't many other options at tight end, so you got to have some. He's a super stud, and everybody else there is a sketchy player. But Sammy Watkins, 8 targets, 6 receptions last week. He was heavily used first game back from injury, and I like that. That means they're confident with him. He knocked the rust off last week. He's an up-and-down player. He usually does okay. He has a reasonable floor. And his salary, one of the things I want to point out, the entire salary algorithm for DraftKings is cheaper this week. I think it's going to be extremely high scoring on DraftKings. Because of that, they did it on purpose. We'll talk about it at the end. I won't get too into it. But his salary is super cheap at 4K on DraftKings. Almost not necessarily a must play because there are a couple of other super bargains as well, which will go out. But I love Sammy Watkins here. A very cheap way to get exposure to the Chiefs offense. All right. Switching over to the Patriots offense. Now, this is interesting. First, let's take a look at our numbers. So, I mean, without getting too deep into it, the Chiefs' ranking defensively is just terrible across the board, be it running backs, be it wide receivers, be it tight ends. They're pretty much the worst in the league as far as their ranking goes. Again, I mentioned before, they definitely play better at home than on the road, and it's the splits are massive, where they're giving up, you know, something like 7 or 8 less actual points per game in home games than road games, which is a very, very large number. But let's take a look at the actual numbers. So the Chiefs are ranked 30th against the run. That's a big deal. That's very bad. We've seen mediocre teams destroy these Chiefs team with their running back position, including the Cardinals midseason in a game where the corpse or the 2018, you know, shell of a version of David Johnson that they had on their team wound up going off for something like 30 plus fantasy points. So you can run on the Chiefs. Which brings me to the Patriots running back duo of James White and Sony Michel. Now last week, I was at the DraftKings Sportsbook Championships in Hoboken. I was lucky enough to win a ticket and compete against some of the sharpest players in the world in sports betting. Not my thing, not a sports bettor, but gave it a shot to compete against them for $1 million top prize. And one of the props that we looked at that we really, really loved was James White over 4.5 receptions. And that just tells you something. The prop bet last week for James White on a 50-50 prop was 4.5 receptions. He hit that number on the first drive. He hit 4 receptions on the first drive. Like, everybody who took that bet was like, yeah, we were going nuts, right? Now, he wound up with a massive, I think it was 15 targets in the game, 17 targets, 15 receptions in the game. That was no accident, and I'm pointing it out for very good reason. The Patriots brought a game plan. Ever since they lost Josh Gordon, they've been looking for ways to make this offense more dynamic. Now, Patriots change it up. They're very game plan specific, so I don't know that this will continue to this extent. I don't know if it's going to be to this extent. But I do know that they've come up with an innovation here that they really like. Tom Brady loves James White, but more so, he made the offense dynamic. It reminds me of when they innovated the idea of 2 pass-catching tight ends with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. This was the same idea. Nobody really knew how to defend it. They're always looking for mismatches. And with James White out of the backfield, they have a mismatch. It's crazy. They always throw to him when he's in, and yet no one can defend it. I mean, last week, the Chargers, who were seemingly a good defense, 17 targets, 15 receptions, so they could not stop James White. It was crazy. So the negative with White is he's not going to be in on the goal line most of the time. He's not going to be in on the red zone most of the time. You know, that's going to be Sony Michel's spot. But James White is going to PPR the shit out of the Chiefs here. And a lot of that is because the Patriots don't really trust their outside wide receivers for whatever reason. Chris Hogan and now Dorsett, they don't trust him. Now, Edelman is fantastic as the slot guy, and he will see a ton of targets here again. And I'm not afraid of playing Hogan or Dorsett at all. This is going to be a high-flying affair. So there's lots of goodness to go around. But your primary target on DraftKings at 5,400 for floor and ceiling is James White. And now, the reason it's not Sony Michel, I'm going to explain right now. Now, Michel is in a great spot, too. They bring him in. They lean on him. He's actually, he's a workhorse, but he doesn't get targeted very often. And you might say, who gives a shit? He put up 35 points last week. Yes, he did. And there's a great chance he's going to have another great game. I do not mind pairing Sony Michel and James White because they're in essence playing two different positions. Sony Michel being the running back and James White being more of a wide receiver. But the difference between Michel and White is Michel is going to be somewhat game flow dependent. In other words, if the Patriots are getting dominated, and I would be shocked if that happened, the Patriots are going to play competitive. But if they're getting dominated, Michel will not do well. James White will still have his floor. He'll still probably get your 10, 12, 14. It could even work out better for him if they're playing from behind. But a Sony Michel player, they need to be leading or close for him to really go off. That doesn't mean he's not going to get his red zone touchdown looks. He will. And I love Sony Michel in this game. It's just not as safe of a floor as we get with White. So love both Patriots running backs taking on the 30th ranked Chiefs defense here. No problem. All good. Now at the wide receiver position for the Patriots, you know, it's Julian Edelman, of course. He's been great. Coming off a really big game. Another guy who doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. So if we're talking FanDuel, you know, I could look other ways. He doesn't score very often. But, I mean, last week, 13 targets, 9 receptions. In a game where his team was playing way from ahead. So you would have thought maybe this is the best game script for him. No. No, it worked out just fine. 151 yards, 27 DraftKings points. He crushed. There is nothing. Nothing that tells me that same thing won't happen again. I don't care what the game flow is. Unless it's so cold that they can't throw. There is no such thing. Edelman should eat again here. I see over 20 fantasy points for him comfortably. Not worried about it. There's a lot of great wide receivers on the slate. This slate is so chock full of great wide receivers. Great, everything's great. I love it. All right, so now let's move over to the tight end position, where two of your premier tight ends of the week come from this game. Now, premier. The premier tight end, and the question you're going to ask yourself with every lineup that you build this week is, am I going to use Kelce or not? It's that simple. Am I going to use Kelce or not? Kelce's 7,100. Kelce's a fucking stud. Kelce has a 40-point upside. Am I going to use him or not? Kelce is going to be 60% owned in tournaments. Going to use him or not? My suggestion is, yeah, use that motherfucker, but use him 2 out of 3 lineups. And then the third lineup, switch it up. So 2 Kelce, 1 not. Right? That gets you 66% if you're making 3 lineups. That kind of ratio is fine. You know, do you really want to see Kelce going bananas and you don't have him? No. You better have him. It's okay if you don't have him in every single lineup. He hasn't had, last week was like a mediocre game. He had put up 20 points. You know, but there was a couple weeks before that where they didn't need to score much, that he didn't do that much. But here's the deal. Well, actually, against quality, there was the Oakland game, didn't need to do much, so they just kind of didn't roll him out there. But at Seattle, at the Chargers, a couple weeks before that, also, 9-10 targets, didn't do a whole lot with them. So he definitely has games where he doesn't go off. Of course, if you look before that, 20, 40, 30, 29, 20, 28, 32. So he's got the big game in him. Kelce or not. A big part of the Kelce or not question is, A, super affordable to just use him on DraftKings. It's not that big of a stretch. But B, there aren't that many other good options at the tight end position. One of which is Gronk. Now, the definition of insanity is going back to the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. It's hard to imagine, for example, Gronk all of a sudden being a heavy volume player in this offense. It's not that we haven't seen him do that in his past. It's that this season, he's topped out at 7 or 8 targets. And I don't think we can expect more than that from him. Now, the good thing is the sites have finally dropped his salary level to the point where it's appropriate for the kind of production he's had this season. Or at least DraftKings has by reducing his salary to $4,100. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, if we were avoiding Gronk all season, that's because he was 6, 7, 6, 7,000, 6,900, 6,500. These are the salary levels. Even the last couple games of the season. And again, this is a guy who had done nothing all year, all name value. He's 5K, 5,600, 5,800. This week they got him down to 4,100. Okay, now he's priced like a David Njoku mid-season type player. Now he's priced like Vance McDonald, who, quite honestly, has had a better year than Gronk. But now he's got that salary level, and he's taking on the number 32-ranked Kansas City defense versus the tight end position. So it stands to reason that mayhaps Gronk can finally do something. He looked pretty decent out there blocking last week against the Chargers. I was watching Gronk. He looked okay. He looked good. He was moving around nicely. He says he's healthy. Now, we know that Gronk is going to probably retire at the end of the season. Does he want to go out with a big game? Are they going to throw to him? I don't know. It's super speculative. But if you're not going Kelsey, you know, take some shots of Gronk. He's got a great matchup here. It only takes a touchdown or two. He has two touchdown upside. They can throw to him. They can also surprise everybody by going even heavier Gronk than they were expecting. I would not put that past Bill Belichick and this sort of really sharp New England staff. Now, beyond Kelsey and Gronk, it gets the pickings are slim. You've got the we'll talk about them for the next game. We'll talk about that for the next game. We're not going to do position by position. We'll do game by game here. So, finally on this game, if I had to pick one of these defenses, I'm going to pick the Chiefs because they're at home. I guess. But defense is going to be a crapshoot this week. I don't like any of them. So, do what you got to do with that side. All right, let's move on to the Rams at the Saints. Got a game total on this one of 57, so the higher game total with the Saints, 3.5-point home favorites. It's another awesome game. I can't wait for Sunday to watch these, and I can't wait to start building these lineups. So let's break it down. Start with the quarterback position. Now, we already know the Saints are last at, you know, they're giving up the most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks and wide receivers this year. Let's see if the ranking has changed since last week. There it is, a little bit. So they're ranked 31st overall versus the quarterback position, giving up 23.1 fantasy points per game. Hello, Jared Goff. You have a good matchup. Now, the Rams, a little stingier against quarterbacks, giving up 19.1 points per game or ranked 17th overall, so they've been a little bit better. But Breeze at home is Breeze at home. He didn't have the greatest game I've ever seen him play last week, but we'll see if that changes here. But you have to like Goff in this situation, taking on the 31st ranked pass defense, but not just that. Taking on the Saints team, and here's this is where we get into the matchups, right? Why do quarterbacks and wide receivers do so well against this team? And the reason is because they're really good against the run. So when you have a team like the Saints that's very solid versus the run, and I'll bring up those numbers here, but the Saints are, let's see, number 4 overall versus the running back position, giving up just 19.8 fantasy points per game to the position. So when you're really, really stingy against the run like the Saints are, teams are forced to throw. And because the Saints don't really have a great secondary, those throws can be successful. So that's how you would expect a team to attack the Saints. And the Rams have a next-level running game, so I don't think the Chiefs will be able to, or the Saints will be able to completely stifle it. But we'll get into the running part in a minute with the running backs. But first, the wide receivers. I'm talking Brandon Cooks in a revenge narrative against his former team. Love it. Okay, we got Bobby Woods out of the slot, taking on the weakest cornerback for the Saints. Gotta love that. And even Josh Reynolds is playable here. So the entire trio of Rams wide receivers are all in good spots, and they are popping off the DFS Army Domination Station rankings for their sticky hand rating above all other players on the slate. Now, if I'm comparing Woods, Cooks to Edelman, Hill, I think Edelman and Hill probably have better floor-ceiling combinations, but they're also a little bit more expensive. And the way I'm going to play the slate, I'm just going to pair up these guys with their quarterbacks as much as I possibly can so that I can try to avoid the landmines. Or if there's a landmine, which I don't really think there's going to be a lot of landmines this week, but you never know. But if they're there, then hopefully I'll avoid them. So like an Edelman, I'll play him straight up just in general lineups, but I'll certainly try to pair him up with Tom Brady a little bit. More so Woods and Cooks, definitely going to try to pair them up with Jared Goff. And again, Goff really can't throw to his tight ends. They're just all right. And the tight end matchup is not good for the Rams. The Saints are actually very good against the tight end position. So, you know, your Gerald Everett and your Tyler Higbee, quote-unquote, turds, not so great. Not so great. The Saints coming in seventh overall against the tight end position. They've just been able to stifle whoever's come at them. All right, so let's take a look at the Saints offense here. And it starts with Drew Brees. He's got an okay matchup against a Rams defense that also middling 17th overall against opposing quarterbacks, giving up 19.1 fantasy points per game. Okay. Brees is at home. I don't worry about a matchup like that. Brees at home. Now, he didn't do it last week, but Brees at home is a beast. So if he's got his shit back together, and I'm chalking up last week. Listen, they rested their guys almost 3 weeks. You know, week 17, bye week. There was a lot of rest. And, you know, for better or for worse, they got through last week's game, and there was a little bit of luck involved there. They might not have made it through. That Alshon Jeffrey drop was pretty brutal. But they made it through the game last week, and I expect the offense to be better this week. I do. I expect them to be sharper. They better be sharp if they're going to beat the Rams. The Rams are coming in just locked and loaded at every position. So these Saints need to be on point. And I think they're going to be. So Drew Brees, great spot. Now who's he going to throw to? Top guy is Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas has been a beast in the playoffs throughout his career. I saw a statistic, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but where I don't know if he's ever had a playoff game where he's been under 100 yards or something, you know, double-digit targets. He's a beast in the playoffs. And I expect him to see a lot of Aqib Talib, which is interesting. And it pushes me on. If you watched last week's game, now, Thomas is a pay-up situation. I have to pay up for him. He also doesn't score a ton of touchdowns. He doesn't get a ton of yards. I like him here, but of all of the wide receiver options, I only want to get to him if I can afford him. Because I think Tyreek Hill has a higher ceiling. I think Edelman is significantly cheaper. So if I can afford Michael Thomas, sure. And if it's a Drew Brees lineup, yeah, I'm going to try to get him in there. But he's probably not going to be a standalone play because I think I can get similar output out of Hill or Edelman, even Woods and Cooks. Like, all of these guys have really, really high potential. So my goal is going to be to get a lot of them and mix and match them all through my lineups rather than just kind of focusing on, you know, I need Michael Thomas. You know, I'll try to get Thomas, like I said, with my Drew Brees lineups, but I'm not sure I'm going to be looking to force him in across the board. Again, there aren't that many options, so, you know, we're going to play a little bit of everybody here. But there are certain options I like better. Like, I definitely like Woods and Cooks, just pairing them up. They're standalone plays for sure, and pairing them up with Goff, of course. But the other wide receiver for the Saints is very interesting to me, Ted Ginn. Now, hear me out. Do you remember what the Cowboys did to the Rams last week? The Rams were able to slow down Amari Cooper with Aqib Talib. So what did they do? They attacked the other side. They attacked Marcus Peters, who is a terrible, terrible, beyond terrible cornerback. The worst. Marcus Peters, just to be clear, is allowing a 101 passer rating on passes thrown in his direction. His cover rating is negative. He sucks. And last week, Michael Gallup, who also sucks and hadn't had a good week all year, finally went off against Marcus Peters. Now we're going to get Ted Gidd Jr., who's coming off, and let me pull up the numbers here, but he's coming off, yeah, a 7-target, 3-reception game against the Eagles. So he didn't do that much, but he was heavily involved. He was targeting a ton. He was targeted deep. I love Ted Gidd Jr. in this game. He's going to have the best matchup. He's going against the worst cornerback, I think, in the league. Love it. Ted Gidd Jr., super cheap, borderline lock play, especially on FanDuel. FanDuel, you need salary relief. You're just not able. The way they set up the algorithm, it's really tough. So that's, I love him on both sides, but certainly almost a must play on FanDuel. You need to save that money and a great DraftKings salary saver as well. And that he can go into any lineup. Doesn't matter. Now, outside of Thomas and Gidd Jr., it's kind of a mess at wide receiver for the Saints. The last week, Keith Kirkwood got a touchdown. He's not participating in practice, and he hasn't been playing, practicing. So if he's hurt, he's got a questionable tag right now. If he's hurt, then maybe we can go back to Traquan Smith, who played a little bit last week but didn't do a whole lot. You know, he's kind of been replaced. It's right now it's Ted Gidd Jr., it's Michael Thomas, and then some combination of Traquan Smith, Kirk Kirkwood, some German guy. No, wait, no, Dieter is from KC. But, you know, who else did they have? Yeah, maybe Austin Carr sometimes and Tommy Lee Lewis. So, you know, Tommy Lee Lewis is a special teams guy. Austin Carr, he was out last week. I think he was either, oh, he was a healthy scratch or injured last week. Nope, he got, yeah, it's week 17, so he didn't play last week. He was scratched, probably a healthy scratch or something. But I think if Kirkwood is out or Austin Carr, they're both just all fucking turds. I don't want any of these guys. Now, a tight end for the Saints. It's a reasonably okay matchup, I guess. I don't really like the players here. The Rams have actually been, they've been pretty bad against tight ends, 24th overall. So that's an attackable position via attackable team via the tight end position. The problem is the Saints don't really have anybody all that good. You've got Ben Watson, who's 40 now? Seriously, I think he's 40. He already said he's retiring after the season. He's an old guy. You know, can't expect too much. 2 or 3 targets max all year. Had a couple of games early in the season. Had 2 good games this year. So any tight end can score a touchdown anytime. And again, if we're not using Travis, the salary is so easy on DraftKings that I don't think you need to turd it out this low. But in essence, if you're playing a non-Gronk or non-Kelsey tight end, you're really hoping that Gronk and Kelsey completely shit the bed. That's asking a lot. Definitely a tournament-only kind of approach. The other guy that's playable here is Josh Hill. He hasn't done anything, but he's certainly a little more alive than Ben Watson. And Dan Arnold last week was scratched, so I don't know what his deal is. If he's going to play, you know, not a guy who's going to be exciting me all that much. He had the one good game against Atlanta. Luckily, we loaded up on him in the showdown, but that's just out of luck. So that's your Saints offense. Now, on the Rams side, we didn't get to the running back position. You crazy? Okay, at running back, keeping it simple. Alvin Kamara, underpriced. He had a terrible game for Alvin Kamara last week. Still put up 14.5 fantasy points in that one. 16 rushing attempts, 4 targets in the passing game, 20 total touches. That's all you can really ask for or hope for. He had a ridiculous, an incredible touchdown called back due to penalty that would have really changed the whole landscape of his day. He would have beasted. That was another 10-point play. We would have been looking at a 27-point day from him, and everybody would have been loading up on Kamara this week. Instead, everybody's like, well, Kamara didn't do that great, and the Rams' defense is pretty good against running back. No. No, play Kamara. He's the man. Simple as that. Just play Kamara. Now, the more questionable guy is Mark Ingram. He continues to get usage, which is fascinating. Why are they still playing Mark Ingram out there? But, you know, he's the bruiser. He gets a couple targets. For some reason, his touches are not as valuable as Kamara's. And I don't know why that is. I mean, he does all right as a running back. But he's the kind of player that needs a lot of touches to really crush. And they just don't give him to him. And you'll note, the couple of big games he had, a lot of it was just touchdowns, goal line touchdowns. And a lot of them were in blowouts. His two biggest games of the season was that Eagles game where they won 48-7, and that Bengals game the week before where they won 51-14. And basically, those were blowouts, and that's when the Saints were going to lean on him. You know, I think he had a big game earlier in the Seattle. Yeah, there it is. His first game back, another blowout against Washington. So that's pretty much the MO for Mark Ingram. If the Saints are going to be blowing someone out, they're going to lean on Mark Ingram late. I don't expect a blowout here. Ingram is cheap enough that he's a reasonable play, you know, for $4,600 on DraftKings, for example. But he's not a primary. He's not a guy that I'm purposefully trying to target. He's just like, yeah, he's good. I'll play him, you know, okay, I'll play him. If I have to, you know, amongst those other wide receivers, and if I need another cheap guy, fine. But Kamara is the explosive player. Kamara is the guy that they're going to have to get more involved if they're going to win. If they're going to win this game, Kamara is going to have to be heavily involved. So I love Kamara here. He doesn't have the volume expectation, maybe, of... Actually, if you look across the slate, there isn't huge volume expectations. You know, I think... And let's just explore the entire running back position. Here, we'll take a look at the Rams side. You've got Gurley and C.J. Anderson for the Rams. Now, Gurley is no longer going to be the extreme workhorse. He still did great last week. 16 carries, couple targets, 22 fantasy points, so he did just fine. But C.J. Anderson, in what was in essence a blowout scenario, got a ton of carries. Now, I'm not sure. It's not clear why. Was it because they were up huge and they just gave it to Anderson late? Or is it because, hey, this is our new thing. We like C.J. Anderson, and we're gonna roll him out there. And, you know, too bad. You know? Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. I think it's a little bit of both. I think C.J. Anderson will definitely be involved. I think Gurley's touch expectation has to be lowered. He's not going to be a 30-touch guy in this game. And they're taking on a quality Saints run defense that no running back has really, you know, eaten on. And now you've got two guys to split. So normally when Gurley's on a slate and there's no other super stud to compete with him, you're like, load up, 100% Gurley. I'm not doing that this week. I'm going to mix Gurley in. I'm going to have some C.J. Anderson shares, but even less. I don't think the Rams are going to be ahead or dominating this game to where they can lean on a C.J. Anderson. I'm concerned about the volume for Gurley in a tough matchup. So, you know, if I have my druthers, when I'm looking at names like James White, who I know is going to get a ton of targets, when I'm looking at Sony Michel, who is cheaper and I know is going to be used heavily on the goal line against a 28th-ranked rush defense, and I'm looking at Damian Williams, a guy who's coming off a 31-touch game, you know, I don't see Gurley as a must-play. I'm going to play him, but I'm just going to mix him in. He's the most expensive, and I don't think his ceiling is necessarily massively higher than any of these other guys, especially with the C.J. Anderson factor and with the fact that the Saints are a tough run defense. Again, defense here, I guess you got to go with the home team. I think defense is such a crapshoot this week. I just roll the dice. Do what you got to do. Pick one. Take the cheapest one. Take the most. I don't think any of these defenses are scoring well. You know, or if they are, it's going to be due to a turnover or some wacky shit that we can't predict. I'm going to go Rams defense is an interesting one because the Saints played poorly last week, offensively across the board, and maybe that will continue. But in general, don't like any of them. All right, that's it. Championship football, conference finals, coming up this weekend. Remember, if you're not a DFSArmy.com subscriber, go to DFSArmy.com. We've got a special promo code this week. Use my code, GEEK, and the biggest discount we've ever had for new members only, 20% off. Lock it in. Sign up for VIP. You can ask me questions. We've got the best pros in the game advising for every daily fantasy sport, even tennis. Tennis is a daily fantasy sport. Did you know that? We've got a tennis crew. Did you know that soccer, football outside of America is like a whole other thing? There's no tackling. We call it football, but it's basically soccer. They kick a ball around, and it's a whole big deal. We've got a team covering it. I don't understand why they don't tackle each other. It'd be such a better game. But listen, it's not for me to decide. The whole world out there, sports. We got them all covered. Go to dfsarmy.com. Promo code GEEK, 20% off. Thank you guys for listening. This has been an awesome year. I will be back next year. Same time, same place, same channel, doing it all over again. So let's finish strong, make money, playoff weekend, watch games with a rooting interest. Let's have fun, and I will see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.